Hello, Rebel! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome your wives, your sisters, your daughters, your girlfriends, fiancés, and even your female pets. What are you looking at while we're talking, mate? I'm not wearing anything.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance.
Rebel Alliance isn't going to go away.
GW. I was going to say GW, and GW in my mind does not mean Gears Workshop.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance.
Anyway.
I mean, you're not wrong.
I've never said to you, Fed, that you're wrong.
Yeah, if I lose, it means I wasn't trying. But if I win, I also wasn't trying.
Yeah.
I'm not a tryhard.
I wouldn't even call it a dicing. I would just say that he had more favorable plays than I had.
The other guy was not impressed.
What's the worst that can happen, right? What is the worst that can happen? Ladies and gentlemen, Super Fed TV, everybody.
Yeah, it's like when you just decide that you don't care about your elves anymore and you're just gonna throw them at the ball until it works. Things can happen.
Oh, don't get me started. Like,
Omen turns.
Did he really just say that right now to me with a straight face? Did he really just say an hour and a half to 2 hours? Calling is for suckers after all.
Well, now that we've figured out that situation, guys, go and cage dive your ogre.
Take it away!
Oh, it's gonna be good, man.
Oh.
Hello, Rebel, and welcome to Rebel Alliance episode 94, the only Blood Bowl podcast that schedules on Reddit. We are, of course, hosted by me, Full Metal TOS. You know me by now. If you don't know my voice by now, you've really not been paying attention to the last 93 episodes. I am joined by Mr. Superfed TV.
Hello, everybody.
Left, right, up, behind me, in front of me, playing Legend of Runeterra in the corner. We don't know where he is. He's in a different seat every week. It's fine. He keeps us on our toes. How are you doing, mate?
Oh, yeah, pretty good.
You know what, right? I have to say, right, I'm really enjoying the podcast at the moment. This whole doing it every week and keeping up with it, and I don't know if you're feeling the energy, but I think we've nailed it, really, recently.
I agree. It's definitely, got rhythm and routine going, and there's nothing,
we're in our
nothing negative that comes with that.
You know what, actually, to be fair, my dude has been more positive than ever recently, and I think it's got nothing to do whatsoever with the market being a receding memory. Honest. I'm not blaming everything on the market, but it probably was. Right, we've got two special guests for you today, ladies and gentlemen. So I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know if it's going to be complete chaos. Well, it is, because one of our very special guests is Mr. Viking Cop.
Hello, everyone.
He assures me there are no Cheetos in sight.
Sad times.
So it's going to be zero crunchy, top quality audio quality. We've got Gruff, who continually messages me and tells me how good. He hasn't actually messaged for a while. I'm just trying to call him out and see if he does it again. Because it was super helpful when he was going, your audio was a bit off, your audio was a bit... So I hope, Gruff, we pass your audio needs. We're bringing it in. How are you doing, Viking Cop? How's things, man?
I'm doing fine. I'm really happy to be back here. After so long.
It's good to have you back, dude. It's been a long time. Last time I saw you, it was actually on Haringzord's stream, where you were doing very mean things to his Khemri.
Oh, you mean a few days ago?
Was it last Sunday, I think?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, you were doing very bad things to Haringzord, and that's not nice.
I'm sorry.
You big meanie. And as our second... Incredibly, you know, we are seriously, we've got royalty in the house at this point, because we've got none other than a Super Bowl champion, Mr. Mongoose Is Loose himself, coming on at this
Hello, time. Metal.
Hey, buddy, how's it going? Ready?
I'm all right. I'm extremely excited to be on the podcast.
You know what I'm extremely excited for? Genuinely super excited. We're going to finally settle a bet. Me and Mr. Superfed are going to settle a bet. It's going to be what the bloody hell your team's called.
Yeah. And I knew that would be the first question, since that one's really taken off in directions I didn't quite expect.
Honestly, so, it's the biggest controversy of all the Rebel right now. So
it really is.
It's one reason why it's like, is solving the controversy good for Rebel, or is it better to just continue to allow the controversy to exist for the sake of controversy? You know,
part of me was very much thinking I was going to ask the question, and you were going to go, "You will never know," and just disappear off Discord, and I'd be like,
"That would."
No, I think I've already answered on State Committen's stream for whenever they do their recaps, but it is. It was a mistake. It was supposed to be Volcano, and
yes.
And I misspelled it. And there is no way in the system to ever adjust misspellings, so you are stuck with Bull Canoe. Now, the most disappointing part of it is that in my current profession, I'm actually a writer, where most of the things that I do is checking spelling and things like that. So it's a good thing to know, like, it's a good thing to live with.
Grandview King, let the record reflect that Superfed TV was correct.
Actually, no. February 15th, 2020. Let's stop and review the actual situation. He said what it was supposed to be, but he confirmed what it is.
Oh my god!
That's exactly what he said. Yeah, there is a truth that Bull Canoe itself has created much more fame than I think Volcano would have created. That is true.
Viking Cop, as the impartial member of the right now, you're impartial. You're the third party witness. Who is right, Superfed or Mel? With
that, I claimed that it was supposed to be Volcano. That's all I ever claimed.
Okay, I'm not buying that excuse story that he made up just in this moment. So it's intended for sure. He's a writer. He likes controversy. For sure.
Go back and check the tapes.
Yeah. See, the sad thing is, I wish I had intended for it to be what it was. But it wouldn't even make any sense because I added the stupid exclamation point at the end. Like, no one's ever screamed canoe in an excited form in their life.
Well, actually, we have, because we cast your games and did it repeatedly. I'm pretty sure there was a Bull Canoe Wing Rebel. that was shouted pretty excitedly.
Yes, the paddles at the ready.
Oh god! There was the whole bull canoe thing led us into some great like casting stuff. Like, can he paddle his way out of this one and stuff like it was. It really lent itself to casting beautifully. So I think that we never wanted it to be Volcano.
No, it's and right now Bull Canoe is taking on water. Truthfully, so it's not looking as good as it used to.
Did we not warn you about what happens after you win the Super Bowl? The season after you win the Super Bowl.
You don't make the playoffs.
The season after the Super Bowl, you barely have a team. You sacrifice. Yeah. You pay off after the fact. You pay the cost of the Super Bowl trophy, which is losing all your players, apart from Bleeding Hippie, because he's crazy. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I want to move on, because I'm sure there's more to this team and you than a really interestingly named team. But we're going to have to get to it. So, how long have you been playing with Rebel now? Is this your first team with us, right?
This is my first... Well, it's actually my second team, because I had a team in the Eurogamer tournament. That's how I started in Rebel, actually. So that was, last spring? So it's just my third season in Rebel.
And did you at all, when you joined Eurogamer, obviously you only knew what Bungie Man, who wrote an incredibly kind article about us, which we still get grief from by certain areas of the community because they seem to think I paid for that.
Is that really a thing?
I have been accused of paying for the coverage that Eurogamer gave me, and I'm like,
no.
Like, do you know how hard I have to work to get money together to buy the trophies? What do you think I'm getting an ad revenue budget from?
I love internet conspiracy theorists. Oh my gosh, that's so ridiculous.
Other people think I wrote it and sent it to them to publish. I've been accused of a lot from that. But anyway, when you heard about us in Eurogamer, obviously it was a very kindly written article, and I assume you played Blood Bowl for a while before then and were just looking for someone to play.
Exactly. So, yeah, kind of a confession, too. It was interesting timing. I had done, CCL, I guess, for a year or two. I started three... I had the trading card game, actually, a long time ago when I was a kid. And one night I was on Twitch and I saw Blood Bowl 2.
Would that be the incredible Blood Bowl team manager that needs to...
That is such a meme right now. That is exactly what it was. That was how I was introduced to it, because I'm a board game geek at heart, and, I was just looking for interesting things, hadn't never heard of it, just bought it, started playing it. It was different, but whatever. And then I saw it on Twitch and, started to get into it. But I was trying to find a community, I guess, to do it. And Rebel's been very good to me ever since. So,
well, I'm glad, it's definitely been a positive experience for you.
Oh, yeah.
I just, when you started, were you like, you know what, I want to, was it ever your aim to work up there? Did you like, look at the other Super Bowl winners? Because we obviously have them all in the Discord sidebar and stuff, we make a big fuss out of them. Were you like, you know what, I'm going to get there one day, I'm going to do that, or was it just like, I'll just show up and see what happens?
And that's a great question, because I never could have envisioned what had occurred. You know, it's, nonetheless, winning a division is a difficult feat. I think we all agree, especially early in the, you know, in what, the fives, you know, I think they're called now, but, you know, it's hard to be the top of 12 teams or 13 teams. It's just not that easy, because Blood Bowl involves luck, and luck can impact, you know, a quarter of your games to where it doesn't really, you know, it doesn't give you an opportunity, and then you just don't make it, and that happens, which is what happened my first season, because A-Grain was in my division, and A-Grain went on to win the whole thing, and that's the reason I didn't make the playoffs. I was in the Challengers Cup, which turned out to be great. But then you think to, you know, like, well, can I even achieve what, you know, can I make the playoffs? That was my main goal. Every game was, I just want to make the playoffs. And, you know, we play to win to make the playoffs, and then we'll go from there. And then when I got there, it was, okay, one game at a time, just win this one. And my first game being against, I think, Second Dark, you know, a Bolts of the Bone, I believe was his team name, another Chaos Dwarf. And I thought his team was better than mine anyway. And then it was, you win that one, you go to your next one, and you barely beat Bretonians that probably deserved to win in kicks. And then you just play game after game, and you play embarrassing against, you know, Swag Tusk, but you pull off the victory because of Hobgoblin BS. And
it was a hell of a roller coaster. It wasn't, yes. You know, we've had these teams that have come in and they've smashed game. You just knocked them down, and it wasn't your ride at all, was it?
No, and I hate to admit it, but it was at the right moment in time things went my way. There were several moments where if it hadn't gone that way, that would have been it, and the story would be a lot less cool. And then you finally achieve, you know, I think I won. I think my first four games went to overtime, and I won in overtime. And finally get to the final, and you play Dreamify. You played really well. Actually, frankly, he didn't play that great against me. He made one major mistake and got punished horribly for it. And then it really wasn't his fault. I mean, after that, it just didn't recover, and then it was a victory. And Claw Mighty Blow worked really well, so that's always nice. And then that's the story. And I could not have predicted when I joined the league that I would be at the pinnacle of the moment. And even to this day, you know, I talk to my wife and my family, and my little brother's in Rebel too, and I cannot believe that I won it. It's such an honor and an excitement that it feels so surreal.
You know, that's so cool. I didn't realize you had a brother here as well. Are you gonna out him?
So it's real stupid. He went with the creative name Mickey D's All Day, which is odd since it's not like he goes there every day. That's just what he chose. So he's in, I think, Division 4B or something. He's Elves on Your Shelves, and so he's Wood Elf team. But
I've definitely heard the team name, but I just
he plays completely different from me too. Like, he's totally balls to the balls, roll dice and see what happens, where everything is a calculation for me.
He plays differently to you, as in he hasn't won the Super Bowl yet. Family drama!
Exactly.
He's like, so. You know what? You know, you're going to come off the podcast and he's going to listen to it and go, you're going to go, can you pass the potatoes, please? And he's going to go, can you get your Super Bowl trophy, you pass the potatoes?
Yeah, it's a... And you know, it's just a cool feeling, you know, like I can't describe enough, like, what a joy it's been, and you know how exciting it was to realize you've won it, like, you know. And
what,
I know people,
at what point,
you know,
right? Speaking of that, like, at what point did you go, I'm going to win this? This is I'm going to actually walk away with this victory. At what point did you actually settle in? And was it like before the match? Because obviously, you know, Orcs quite favourable for Chorfs if the matchup goes, or was it the first half? You know, was there any point where you actually let yourself go, I'm gonna win this?
Truthfully, I think I let myself go. There's two moments, I guess, if you could really say. First moment, I felt really confident as soon as Dreamify decided to base my Chorf with the Black Orc, and then I knew I could manufacture a push into a Claw Palm hit on a Black Orc that was with guard, and because guard is the biggest nemesis for Chorfs, honestly, which is ironic if you think. You can load up on it, but when you take claw skills, which you have to do, then it leaves openings for guard, and you need to take out the opponent's guard to really have a chance. So he just gave it to me because he was worried about me fouling, and then I was like, well, I can chain push this out, and then it worked, and I got a KO, and he had one less, and then I fouled his killer, and he never used his Apo, and then I was like, okay, I think I got this, and then And that was it. That was the least stressful game of all of them. And no offense to Dreamify, but it just sometimes it just works out for you.
We tend to find, right, when we have incredibly hype semifinals, it's almost guaranteed the final will be a letdown. Like, if you remember, I don't think you were here at the time in the league, but Bleeding Hippie in his playoff run came up against a very good coach, Infinite Pink, who had smashed me. To be honest, he absolutely trucked me in our game to make it to the finals. But then by the end of Hippie's turn two on defense, Pink was down like four players. And it was just like, yeah, this is going to be a 30-minute Super Bowl.
Yeah, and that's how it goes. And it very well the same could have happened to me in that game. And then, like I said, the story is just much different. And, you know, and frankly, I thought most people would be cheering for Dreamify. I mean, if I'm being totally honest, I was. I mean, he was playing Orcs. He seems like a really nice guy. I was like, I'm playing Chorfs. Like, I wouldn't cheer for me. But I was like, well, you know, I'm going to have to be the bad guy today. I'm going to have to be the heel.
See that, Chorf coaches? Even Chorfs don't like you. Even you guys don't like yourselves. No. This is true.
No, you just have to be honest with yourself. If we're in the WWE world, you have to know when you're the villain and not pretend to be a hero. And that's okay. Like, you just accept the role that's given to you.
Somebody who is actually a big fan of like wrestling and stuff, I really like that analogy. I think that makes a lot of sense to me. Fred, yeah. Have you got anything to ask while you're here?
You know, what are some of the matches that have stood out to you, not necessarily in the playoffs, but in the regular season, or some opponents that you played that you really enjoyed playing? Things like that.
Yeah, that's a tough one because, you know, you don't want to slight anyone, but, you know.
Just a couple that you did like.
Right. So, and, you know, if I enjoyed. So I lost in my first season, I lost in the Challengers Cup to Donkey Dragon in a crazy game. Where I forgot what I won in 9 a chance to surf his witch, and then on the next turn I won in 36 to lose the ball and lose the game. But that entire game he had put me under pressure the entire time, and I just felt at any moment this will explode and I'll lose 3-0, and instead it stayed competitive. And I always think of that game because it was my first real foray into the top tier talent of what I like to think of Rebel is you see what they throw at you and how creative they can be and things like that. So
I have to say I was super lucky to cast that game. I was casting that. I think it was me and Gerber possibly. I can't remember who my co-caster was, but I remember sitting there like, after the second half going, what a game. Like, I don't know if we're going to get a better game this season than that.
Yeah, and it's funny because that feeling I had at the end of it when you 1-9 and then 1-36 to lose, like I was just so defeated because I was trying everything I could and I wanted to. I was like, this is my first game being cast. I just want to make people proud and like think I'm not just an incompetent player. And I was like, oh god, that's how it ends. And you know, it is what it is. It's a nice game, but
I mean, I have to say, like, given that I cast it, I did walk away going, he didn't. You know, that was not his fault. He absolutely. Yeah. Was like, you know, that was rough. He didn't deserve it, but it happened, and I hope he walks it off and comes back, because I want to see more of this coach. And then, lo and behold, you end up in the playoffs, and I'm like, okay, well, I'll be casting those.
Yeah, and, you know, and then I guess if you say it, somebody else, Travel Scrabble killed me. I mean, he played outstanding, and he has a good team, but he did not make mistakes, and that's one of the best compliments I think you can give a coach is dice happen, and there's really nothing you can do about that, but you can... Humans make mistakes constantly, so if you can minimize those, I think you can tell good players from that. They just don't make mistakes.
That's a good summary. I have to ask, one of the things I usually ask at a Super Bowl champion, it's always interesting what kind of response we get, is what advice have you got for the other guys, like who either are just starting Rebel this season because we have quite an influx every season, or maybe they're working their way up through the lower divisions. You know, have you got any advice if they want to sit in your seat one day?
Yeah, I think the biggest advice is for about a year, I would get frustrated and say, why am I not good at this game? Or what am I doing wrong? And I think so much of it is are you focusing on the right thing? Are you focusing on a time you rolled 1-36? Or are you focusing on a time where you had poor positioning? Because one thing you can actually change, and another thing is random chance. And focusing on the 1-36 is not, frankly, worth your time because it happens. Whereas a positioning decision or a proper screen or proper ball protection, which I make horrible mistakes on even in the playoffs. I mean, those are things you can easily overcome and make and correct. And those are worth reviewing and watching yourself and figuring out how to get better. I watch every cast of my game too, because I love getting different perspectives. Because I don't know if I play the way every coach would, and I probably shouldn't because then I wouldn't have won. But I think you can learn from what other people are saying just because there's things that open up that you wouldn't otherwise see in the moment.
Viking Cop, have you got any questions for Mongoose while
well, then, this is a really long story. I ran out of room in my paper, writing and writing down. But basically, what I got out is that you've been playing here, yes, for barely two whole seasons?
Yeah, I'm in my third season of Rebel, yes.
So third season, you are in Rebel 1, your team is going to die, we all know that. But, however, you managed to win again in just two seasons with Chors, which is quite impressive. I remember the final, you played it really well, I loved it. I mean, I'm a Dream Hi-Fi fan, because he basically is my friend, and we do the weekly recaps of Demon 1 every Thursday, etc., etc., and we know basically Dream Hi-Fi is the guy who brought me to Rebel, who saved me from CCL. But I remember watching the game and saying, okay, this is going to be so bad for the orcs. They are looking for a scram, and these chores know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So yeah, I don't remember congratulating you in the past, but better late than never. So well played, well deserved.
Well, thank you.
And may all your chores rest in pieces.
How is Roll 1 going for you?
So, like I said, it's the phrase is humbling. It's a good way to put it. Like, you know, I won my first two. I won the Champions League game, as I called it, against Archangel by going for the win because draws are boring. And then I've now gone into Nurgle season, where I have my next three games are all against Nurgle. And
yeah,
well, that's tough.
Well, my playoff experience was three Nurgle teams back to back. So I can somewhat sympathize. I was playing Nurgle myself, so a lot of people are like, well, you don't get to complain. And I'm like, why? My opponents only had to play one. I got to play three.
Yeah, and it's one thing to play Nurgle, too. It's another thing to play people who actually are talented and play Nurgle. You're like, damn it. Like,
That writes me off. Viking Cup. There was supposed to be a question. You gave us a story. You congratulated the man, which I like. But did you have any questions for the man?
I just want to know how long you've been playing this. Do you play tabletop?
I do not. And I've wanted to for some time. Frankly, it's kind of ridiculously expensive to get started into, unless you want to start with humans or orcs, which I just, So I haven't gotten into tabletop like I want to eventually. Frankly, I have, I have a 2-year-old or going on 2-year-old. So the time I'm not spending playing Rebel, I should be a father at some time. So, that's where I'm at on that. But yeah, I've been Champions League or whatever they call it. CCL and Rebel is where I'm at, you know. And then since 2017, I guess.
Well, so. You did list yourself as a board game geek, so maybe one day, like when the little one's a little bit older, you can fit it in. And of course, you do have the start of, you know, you've got on the way. It's in the mail at the moment. You have got the start of an undead team because you've got a mummy coming. Yeah, well, you've got a Ramtuk coming.
Yeah, and that is an unbelievable trivia. It's super cool. And Undead is honestly my team. If I played Chors just because I was trying something different, but Undead is truly my team. That's what I started with in Eurogamer, but I got so pissed off because I lost my first game to someone who had clearly never played before, and I ended that. So.
Sad.
They picked up with a Black Orc, and then did like a 4+ dodge to score, when they had a thrower available, which I also don't like. And they could have picked it up with it, but just chose not to, and it just murdered every second of my moment. You know, I just
every second of my moment. I like that. I like that a lot.
Yep.
Well, you know, like I say, Metal knows everything. Then it seems, because clearly hooking up the right trophy at the right time is all I'm saying.
No, it's I can't say this enough how wonderful the community has been. You know, it's so fun to be a part of it, especially for such, I think, kind of a niche game. It's just, you know, I only want it to grow because everyone should get to experience how cool the community is. And it's just, it's just an honor. It's the only phrase I can use to, you know, win the whole damn thing. So
Yeah, I mean, I was blown away when I first chatted to you, because obviously I'd not spoken to you until after the playoffs, really. I think I'd maybe seen you in a stream or something, but it's not really the same. And I dropped you a PM, and I was like, I immediately went to the admins and went, this guy's cool. This guy's, like, super chill. And he's super positive, and I love it.
you have to be real with yourself at moments. You know, I won't lie. I got lucky at the right times, and I don't care, because I got the victory. And I'm thrilled with just being a part of that, so.
Well, I mean, ultimately, I always say this about the game, but the game is a lot of skill, a lot of tactical awareness, but there's a chunk of luck. It's a dice game at the heart, right? You can't pretend there's not luck involved in this game. You're lying to yourself at that point.
Yep. I mean, Spoonie Bard and Swag Tusk could both, deserve to defeat me, and it just didn't happen. And it's not like I'm saying I deserve to lose, but they didn't make mistakes that were worthy of a loss. It just didn't happen when it needed to. And there you go.
No, I would actually. That's a fair comment. I think it was a lot of games come down to that one choice. Like against Dreamify, I would say it was so painful for me and Harangzord to cast, because we literally saw that decision happening in real time.
Yeah.
When that's going to... If this goes how it should go, quote-unquote should go, with the dice, with dice being average here, this is going to lose him the game right here, and it's going to turn what was quite a strong position into an insanely weak position. And I just... Instantly, my heart fell for the guy, because I was like, no offense, I didn't want you to lose, but I didn't want him to lose it. You know what I mean? It was, for me, it was two dudes who both deserved it, and it was like, I want this to be a good game, because it's really hard to cast a stomp.
Yeah, you know, even from my personality, you know, from my perspective, I wanted it to be a terrible game if it was going to be in my favor, but, you know, like, it was, you know, I didn't like, you never like playing guys that are, like, good people. You want everyone to be a jerk, because it makes you feel a lot better when you win, so it just wasn't, this did not apply to many of my opponents in the playoffs, unfortunately. Or fortunately. I guess it's a good thing they're all good people.
Yeah, I guess I don't think anyone took it negative. You know, I didn't see any, like, negative commentary afterwards or anything, so... And, like, if you've interacted with everyone else, how you've interacted when we've spoke, I can't possibly imagine people, like, you know, thinking, ooh, he doesn't deserve that. Because, genuinely, as far as, like... super positive folks in the community go, you're one of them, right? You've been super pleasant every time I've gone, like, I'm really sorry, dude, it's like February and it's not finished yet. I felt awful, right?
Well, and you saw the temporary trophy, so, you know, it's not like it wasn't recognized, you know.
Now, is it a temporary trophy, or are you keeping that bad boy?
I'm keeping it forever. Yeah,
put the two next to each other.
That's right. I'll put it next to each other to send it out so people can see it, but, you know, and the other thing, you know, the other thing too is, you know, it just, you get, you know, the only thing, I guess I was thinking was, it's hard, you know, you always remember that people are people, especially in this term, and even I found myself beating myself up at times when Harangzord would point out, like, horrible ball protection mistakes, and I was like, dude, he's right, I suck, god dang it, and I knew I won in the end, but, like, it's hard not to criticize when you think, it's so obvious what he just pointed out. And everyone on chat usually disagrees, and they're like, yeah, I can't even believe you did that. And you're thinking to yourself, you're right. I don't know what I was thinking. It just happens sometimes. And
now, I'm sure Superfed will back me up on this, because he's got many vivid experiences with Twitch chat. Is never take what never, ever take what Twitch chat say to heart.
Yeah, no. There's not much constructive feedback.
The internet is not overly kind in general.
I think personally, and I'm sure you can back me up on this, I know that when I was playing my playoff games, like, it's so incredibly hard to explain to people the amount of, like, pressure and, like, weight on your shoulders. Because you, obviously, if you want to win, you're there to win, and you know you're going to rock in 100, 200, whatever viewers. You're going to have a lot of, you're going to have a lot of people watching, everyone's going to be picking apart for mistakes. That is, for a video game that you play, quote unquote, for fun. That's a lot of there's a lot of pressure there that a lot of people, if they've not been in that hot seat, wouldn't necessarily expect. That's my take on it, anyway. I mean, I know that on game days before I went to my playoff games, I was, like, physically, I was nauseous. I felt ill thinking all day about that, because it was sat at the back of my mind going, I'm going to have to get up there and I'm going to have to perform. And maybe it's because I'm obviously I run the show as well, and people like watching the boss fail, because you do, right? Like, everyone goes, oh, we like watching metal fail. They do.
We do. We all do.
They do.
Yeah.
Does that mirror your experience at all? I mean, how did you?
Yeah, it's just the tenseness. Like I said, and I'm a people pleaser at heart, you know, and even in a highly competitive game, you're like, you want people to think of you as competent. Like, you're not, like I said, I wasn't focused on winning the whole thing. It was always game by game. I just wanted people to say, like, at least he's competent. Like, he seems like he's a decent player. Things like that would be like, all right, at least I'm accepted into this community or this game that I've been trying so desperately hard at. And, you know, like, I'll read stuff and I'll read articles and I'll write stuff out, you know, on my papers, and I'll think, well, if I try this or if this happens, like, every game I play, I will picture how do I think the worst case scenario goes for the first turn, and then I'll build from that. And that way, if that happens, I have a plan. But when you make a mistake that you're like, that's what it was a mistake, you hate it because you're like, how did you miss that? Like, it's just, you were so focused, but...
I'll tell you, right, there was one my first game I played Haruma Majere and the Flying Rainbow Ponies, who are still going, actually, in the Big O now, and I picked up the ball on the sideline, miscounted the distance from one of his players to my player, and didn't GFI back off the sideline, and got my ball carrier surfed as the first action of my drive.
Yeah, and those are painful reminders.
I remember the feeling immediately after that happened, where I literally was screaming, why have I done this to myself? Why have I allowed this to be a thing? And I still remember that feeling. So you're absolutely right. Is that like that whole picking yourself apart and going, oh, why have I done that? I've been there.
Yeah. And I think it's human nature, especially for people who are competitive and rebel. Like, we all want to do good and we want to accomplish things and be seen as competitive seen as competent. And I think it's easy to pick apart your own game as if you were just a failure, but based on an outcome, when really mistakes happen, and that's the way to learn. Like, that's the easiest way to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%. Has anyone got anything else they'd like to add with Mongoose while we're on this segment? Don't all talk at once, boys.
Got bounce mine in.
Okay. Viking Cop, anything to say?
No.
Okay, on Viking Cop's behalf, because I can't believe he hasn't asked this, what's your favorite snack food?
My favorite snack food? Probably a soft pretzel.
Not Cheetos? Well, you're not a fan of the Cheetos?
You said not pretzel?
Yeah, soft pretzel, yeah.
What's that?
It's like, well, I guess you're right, you know, cultural boundaries here. Soft pretzel is what we serve at our sporting events, and it's basically it's just not a hard pretzel. It's soft and like bread and warm and delicious.
It's soft because it reads soft pretzel. Yeah, I see. Okay.
We got hard pretzels, you know. There's like Snyder's and, you know, Rolled Gold, and those are fine too, but they're just not warm.
But this is sweet?
It can be sweet. Typically it's salty. Yeah. But you could put, like a frosting on there.
This is the Rebel Alliance podcast where we explain cultural snack food to other cultures. We're really hands around the world, guys.
frankly, that was the hardest question I've gotten all day, is explaining a pretzel. You know, I didn't know. I didn't prepare for that.
You've been preparing for like all week for this, and the one thing you never thought to prepare was, what is a pretzel?
Yeah. Well, I've been so excited to just get to talk to you guys and you know share my story that I was like, oof. Didn't think about snack foods.
Well, you never, admittedly, you didn't know Viking Cop was going to be on, and he is famous for his love of Cheetos, so it felt like a question, right?
There you go.
Okay, so, well, at that point, I think we've finished the interview segment, so I want to say, Mongoose, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come and join us. It was super cool chatting to you.
No, absolutely, guys. Like I said, it's beyond an honor to be a part of it. I hope, if I'm lucky enough, one day you'll bring me back. And but in general, just the community is wonderful. Thank you for keeping it going and for what you guys give. It's just funny to think that there could have been a time period where this would have never come true, and I'm beyond honored to be a part of it. So.
No, well, I've totally enjoyed chatting to you. So absolutely, I mean, it doesn't really work long for like a full episode for four people. So certainly,
yeah, I don't blame you.
Like, I was hoping, you know, half an hour of your time, get you on, have a chat to you, see how it goes, and totally, I'm more than happy to. to arrange, you know, in a couple of weeks' time, maybe a month time, I don't know, whenever we are for a guest, if you've got time to join us, I would totally have you on for a full episode, because I've thoroughly enjoyed chatting to you today, so...
Yeah. No, literally, whenever you guys want. I mean, I love talking Blood Bowl. I think it's absolutely an addiction, and that's a good thing.
Well, thank you, dude. And once again, congratulations, because, you know, you're one of now 11 people who have won the Rebel at this point. That's a pretty exclusive club.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
Thank you so much, dude. Take care, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys. Y'all take care.
Well, that was Mongoose is Loose. He was the Season 12 Rebel Super Bowl champion with Bull Canoe Superfed.
Volcano, as he confirmed.
Bull Canoe! genuinely lovely dude. And you know what? Listen out, guys, because I am totally enjoyed chatting to him. And I think if you guys like the two, let me know, because obviously we don't do interview segments very often. We tend to pick people who obviously are important to the community and stuff. And a Super Bowl champion, pretty important, so I think he's allowed. But if you enjoyed it, you want us to do more interview segments, you've got suggestions for people you'd like us to get on, or you want to hear more from Mongoose, I'd totally bring him back for an episode. That's cool by me. And we'll just talk about Blood Bowl 2 as opposed to him in particular. Because people do struggle occasionally to talk about themselves. I get that. I'm Fed, you're a Twitch broadcaster, right? You get that entirely. Like, And to prove it, we're going to make Fed talk about himself by telling us about his weekly game.
Ooh, well, this game was a little bit juicy. I got some casualties, finally. I got a Vermin leveled, but that came very late in the game. I got a Wizard against a very beat-up Spoony Bard. It was a cripple fight between his Dark Elves and my Rats. He was missing two of his most valuable players, and I had six players left on my team. So I did something a little bit unorthodox going into the week. I fired my Wizard Stadium and replaced it with a Nuffles Altar on Skaven. Mm-hmm. Since I'm now, you know, hovering around 1100, 1200 TV for the rest of the season against 2K Bash teams, I figured that this is going to be a better decision for my strategy of going Glart. But in this match, I didn't even get enough inducements for a Wizard and Glart. I got enough inducements for a Wizard and Fez. And Fez, for those of you that don't know, is the ball and chain.
How is there a world that exists where you, of all people, induced a ball and chain? Like,
yeah, please, not only did I induce a ball and chain medal, but the ball and chain powed and cazzed two of his Blodge Elves. And just did work in the first half. He got a blitz, and it put a lot of pressure on me. He was able to turn the ball over. He even got dice on the ball after that a couple times and just snaked a GFI. But before that point, even, Fez was going off. I've never been so happy with a star player or a secret weapon that I have had. And I played Goblins for a season somewhere. But I just, yeah, that was such an amazing thing to have work out. The second half was so bad, he just rage quit, and I didn't even need to use my Wizard. Well, not rage quit, he soft conceded, and I didn't need to use my Wizard. But
I was gonna say, let's be honest here, there's a difference between one and the other, right?
Yeah, no, rage quit is actually like closing the game. This is a rage soft concede,
or, you know, closing Rebel completely.
Sure.
Which we've
as has been one to happen from time to time. but yeah, it was a overdue game for me where my opponent got some bad dice and I did not get the bad dice.
How does it feel to have the good dice? Like, is it that scene in Star Wars where it's like, I have the high ground?
I was still the whole time just waiting for it to turn.
Like, you're waiting for the other shoe to drop?
Yes, I'm like, oh, it's teasing me. This is cute. I know what's going to happen next.
Can I talk about my game then? Because I actually played two games since...
Your game is probably more interesting.
To be fair, my first game was against Chubstep, and I just got my Mighty Blow Wolf, who, it turns out, is the worst, most useless piece of crap I've ever had on a team ever. I don't know if you're aware of this, but it turns out Mighty Blow Werewolves absolutely suck. God, if my experience is anything to go by. He stunned two players all game. That was it. Like, maybe three players. Against humans as well, so it's not like it's a bad matchup. Although, Chubstep has some weird, freaky ogre humans because he's got, like, 3+ strength players, which makes things challenging at times. But the star of my game, like, completely took over the play line was my Flesh Golem with Mighty Blow, who everyone was like, oh, you don't give a Flesh Golem Mighty Blow, he needs to have guard, blah, 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 blah. And the guy went, nah, I'm not having none of that, and slapped around like half of the enemy team, like, on his own. Ran up to their Ogre, who, by the way, their Ogre was clearly just psyched out completely. I've got a player, a zombie, called Mark's Your Big Guy. that's the zombie's name. And I kept saying to Chubstep in chat, the prophecy is foretold every time I moved Mark's Your Big Guy to base the Ogre.
Nice.
I'd just hit him with, the prophecy is foretold! And then I'd move up, and I'd be like, and then I'd just sit there in chat and go, he's staring into his soul. Just, and you know what? Every time, and I'm not even, like, it's not even hyperbolic, all but one time, all game, that Mark's Your Big Guy was stood next to the Ogre, it boneheaded.
Oh.
That's amazing.
It's like, it shouldn't happen, and it doesn't make sense, and it's entirely crazy and wrong, but every single time Mark's Your Big Guy was in base contact with that Ogre, the Ogre boneheaded. And even by the end of it, Chubstep was going, you need to stop this now. This isn't funny anymore, Metal.
Exactly.
And then I move him in for the last time. I move him in, Mark's Your Big Guy, boom, Ogre. Run up with the Flesh Golem and blitz at the Ogre because it's in my way. Dead. No apple.
Whoa.
Box of tears. I was like, the prophecy! The prophecy! And then I won, and then it was a 1-1 draw in the end because I know it was a 1-1 draw because at the end of the day, Chubstep made
a 1-1 draw.
He made like a 3+ dodge and a 5+ pass, and I didn't get the zombie intercept, and it was just, he made like a really crazy chain. I boxed him in utterly. It was like one of those you can't win from here kind of thing unless you do this one very specific, very low odds player, and he did that one very specific, very low odds player and pulled a 1-1 draw. But that's not the story. The story is the prophecy. And it's all I'm allowing.
You have to continue this and keep us updated throughout the rest of the season.
Cause... if I find another big guy, I will absolutely mark it with Mark's Your Big Guy because that's literally his job. It's his name. But I also played... I played two games this week because I played that one just after the podcast. That was on the Monday. And I played Beer Monkey, who I... have been chatting to for a long time, Rebel. I'm a big fan of his. He's a really good coach. I was like, this is going to be a tough game, but it's going to be a good game. And that pushed us both, I think, to our limits. And then I set up a really good play where I got a 2-dice Flesh Golem on the ball and watched the ball scatter into a Beastman in 3 tackle zones. Just one single bounce from the scatter, landed in his hands, 6 on the catch. Nice. And then he gets away. Set himself up. It's a strength 4 beastman as well, because why wouldn't it be a strength 4 beastman? I mean, it's not going to make it easier for me, is it, right? Sets himself up near the sideline with like a sideline-y, cagey type thing, but doesn't quite complete because he doesn't want to do the last GFI because he'd use his reroll that turn. And I was like, if I play this player here and do a 1-dice here, and then I do a 1-dice here, and then I stand this player up, I can blitz this player with a 1-dice, with a reroll, and all I need is a push or better, and I can chain surf the ball, and I got a skull. And then I rerolled. Mm. And I got a both down. And at this point, even he's gone, I actually really wanted that to work because that was a great player. And when your opponent's rooting for you to do a player that's going to lose him the game, I feel like, you know, that's a sign, right? It didn't work. He won 2-1.
Yeah, that's rough.
But it was a fun game. He was a great opponent. I'd happily play Beer Monkey any time or day. Because, great guy to play. Both of them, Chubstep and Beer Monkey, were fun, actually. But he didn't have a big guy, so I didn't get to mark the big guy. Viking Cop, how's your games been this week?
Well, I still have to play my week 6 game in G-Man 2A. I'm playing Wednesday. Because we couldn't schedule earlier. But as you spoiled it before, last week I played Haring Sword, and it was an amazing game. It was great fun.
It was an amazing game if you weren't Haring Sword.
Also. But still, I mean, before the game, when I knew that I was playing him and we were going to be on voice, and it was kind of so cool. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen here. It's Camry. My team is losing. It's Titan players. I mean, I had only 11 of them, so it's going to be rough for me because I don't have regen and he has skill power and attrition and blah 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 blah. So he won the toss and decided to attack, which was good for me because would I have won the toss, I would have decided to defend, because I think that it's better to defend with 11 players rather than with 9 or 8 because of casualties or chaos. And then I got a perfect defense, and from that point on, I put so much pressure on him that he really struggled. He was also playing with he was playing only with three Tomb Guardians this game, because an MNG or something like that, and I was able to remove two of them by turn three or four. So he was on the back foot really early in the game. He still managed to build up a passing play, which could have kind of worked, a potato. But unluckily for him, his Strora decided not to pass. And then I just swammed that area with players and scored at the end of the first half. And in the second half, he got a perfect defense also, but it was not such a big problem for me as it was for him in the first half. And then I just moved from one side to the other, eventually removing a couple of players and scoring 2-0, despite he had two die on the ball by turn 14, because I was playing a bit loose.
He had about six guys left, didn't he? So you were just like,
Oh, I've won this, it's fine. He was able to dodge away with a break tackle play with a Tomb Guardian and put two die on the ball, double buff down, reroll into dub skulls.
I remember that, and it was just, you felt like that's a little bit unfair.
Yeah, that was totally unfair. I mean, it was like, come on, Nafal is telling you that you are not going to win this game. And on top of that, four casualties, zero regen. One Tomb Guardian is armor busted. I'm sorry for that. And he had to play this week against Undead, so it was going to be two Tomb Guardians against two Mummies. The game happened just I caught it
earlier this morning.
It was... Not going to make any spoiler. But in any case, the game was fine for my team. I didn't lose. Okay, I lost a player for the next game. Diana, my sucker, my agility for two heads, wrestle, tackle, grab, crazy player who insists on killing herself by dodging rolling ones. it happens. Every player has its, you know, its strong point.
Trust me, I have realized between Clan and my Necro games that actually just don't roll GFIs with dead people. It just don't do it. Yeah, I keep doing it, and I keep going to myself, I failed that GFI again. I should stop doing GFIs, and then I keep doing GFIs, and I'm like, you fool.
Yeah, it's death floor, right?
It's just on GFI. They always fail. It's always ones.
So I'll have to play Rats next week.
Who are you playing? I didn't ask that. Yeah, who are you playing this week?
I've never played him before. Name is Hesdorn, and the name of the team is Not for the Cat One. Mm-hmm. These are some nasty looking rats. He has two good killers with Chromaty Blow piling on, blah 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 blah, and then. Ball carrier gutter, and then a nice sucker with Dauntless, two heads, wrestle, and strip, and then some rats here and there, you know. And then inducements.
It's a Skaven team with some rats. I never saw that one coming.
And then he will be having like half a million inducements.
To be fair, be annoying. I never saw that one coming because I've watched Superfed play rats, and he certainly doesn't have many of the sub rats.
No, he
has half a team. I've checked it. And also good news is that on Monday I'm playing my second clan game since I joined back this season.
Yeah, you're back now, nice. Right? It's not quite the same without you. I'm going to say it's an experience, man. I always loved Classy as a clan. It was such a good clan.
Oh, the people is so nice.
Yeah, got on with them. Because obviously, I don't know if many of Rebel know this, but you won a clan season with Classy, right? And I get a picture from Viking Cop, because I get lots of random photos from Viking Cop, all PG-13, thank you very much, before we go there. And he sends me a bottle of all of these, but he sends me a picture of all of these bottles, and he goes, I bought this for the guys, for winning. And I was like, that's the coolest thing. I've never, ever heard from a clan leader who went, I bought all my clan, like a bottle of ale each. You know, but was it wine, or was it like something Spanish?
It was wine. Good wine.
Four bottles of wine for his clan for winning the season. That's cool, right? And that's the kind of guy you are. And that's why I will always say, like, Cheetos or not, man, we gotta keep our players like you. Oh. Well, Cheetos? Speaking of as well, like, another, what have you been doing recently? What did you send me a picture of just 2 days ago, 3 days ago?
Oh, yeah. You know that I'm on the tabletop thingy?
Mm-hmm.
I joined the, well, kind of joined the NAF tournament leagues and blah, blah, blah since June this year, more or less. Then I love the community that I have around here. People is really cool, easy going. There's a lot of competitive people too. You will love them. Super fit. And then, you know, these people brings the game beyond the strict limits of the game. They make it more a social event, how to say. And they also exchange presents, and you know, they give me dice when we play the game as a souvenir. I don't know, as a souvenir, or as a, you know. And some people also makes their own badges, and they share them with their opponents, and you know, like kind of memory. So looking at this, I decided that I could do the same, and I decided to order some Rebel badges.
Ooh!
I've just PM'd you. Yeah. Is that not really cool?
That's really cool.
Like, it's just, what was kind of nice was like, Vikingcup messaged me before I did it. Went, I'd really like to use the Rebel. And you didn't have to tell me. I would never have known. Like, you know what I mean? It's not like I would have ever known if you'd ever used it or not. But he comes to me and goes, "Can I use the Rebel logo? I want to make some badges." And I was like, "Yeah, you know what? Go wild. It's cool." And they turned out they are really nice. They look. We could, you know, that they you could sell those. And I'm sure you'd make a pretty penny.
But the plan is not selling them, it's giving them as a present.
Well, if you're ever in Spain? Is it actually Spain, or is it somewhere around, like, one of the smaller islands or anything?
Spain, it's okay.
Yeah, if you're ever in Spain, yeah, and you've got a Blood Bowl team handy, get in touch with Vikingcup, and you could win a Rebel badge.
I also have some nice-looking Halfling badges. With the text wrecked in them when I come, I win with halflings. That's another story.
That's fantastic. I do love that. Right, we had some things to talk about. We talked about the games. That's a segment done. Mark it off in your. We have done our business and talked about things on the podcast in the right order and everything. Around Rebel, we of course have Imperium. That's got a new tournament starting. We have it's a tournament that's so popular. They've had to open they opened three of them, and the third one opened so fast it filled in 7 minutes. So Zord went, "I can run another one. It's fine." It's an assassin. It's called Assassin's Greed, and you get like custom assassins. And he's even gone, the four tournaments are Assassin's Greed White Flag, Assassin's Creed Gone Rogue, Assassin's Creed Assassin's Creed Oddity, and Assassin's Creed Anotherhood.
Well done, Harry and Zord. Well done.
I love the dude. I love Zord. He's, you know, the Imperium is so, like, he's so good at, like, coming up with these crazy tournaments. And it's basically, you get, like, you can choose assassins to add to your Imperium deck, so you can only play, obviously, mixed races with Dark Elves in, and you get like custom built assassins, and you get extra points for doing stuff with the assassins and stuff. And it's just like, I was like, as soon as I saw it, I was like, I need to play this. But it was like the third one filled up in 7 minutes, and I was like, oh, can I get in, please? So it was like, yeah, all right, play the fourth one. We'll put a fourth one on, and that filled up in like no time at all as well. And I'm not playing nobodies, right? Like, as far as, obviously, I would never suggest that people were nobody's in Rebel at any point. But I'm saying, in terms of like big names, in my just from the glance at the ping I got earlier, I've got Wolfbark, Surge, Space Lion, Steak Mittens, which is going to be a dicing if I ever play them, because my god, does Steak Mittens have what we can only be described as Imperium dice? He admitted it. He tagged me as soon as he saw me in the thing and went, "Are you ready for some?" Some of Steak's Imperium dice. I was like, no, because it was horrible last time. But yeah, so it's not like there's you know, there's actually big names who only managed to get in on the fourth go around. So if you missed out, stay tuned, because Zord does do some really fun one-off crazy old tourneys. I've still got a custom-built Orc Troll from the Trolliver Hardy. It was Trolliver's Travels, I think it was called, the tournament we played. And you basically have to play a team with an Orc Troll, and you get, on top of your deck, you get a rookie Orc Troll. And every time it kills someone, and they stay dead, you get to choose one of their skills and apply it to your troll.
Oh.
Permanently. And when the tournament's over, whatever your troll ends up with is what he gets when he gets added to your deck permanently. And if you win a game, you get to open a skill pack and apply that to your troll. Like, one of the skills from the skill pack to your troll. So I ended up with a strength 6 blodge troll.
Oh. Oh, mama.
Wow. It's too bad it's a troll.
Yeah, I mean, it's still only a troll, right? But it's still right. Pretty cool. It's still fun. They had Chorfee's Big Adventure, which was the first one. And I'm trying desperately to talk him into... And you're going to love this, Fed. You're going to love the why of this. I'm trying to talk him into doing one with Minotaurs. Because... In Path of Exile, there's an item called a Headhunter leather belt, right? Which is essentially a type of belt with skulls on. And when you kill stuff, you steal modifiers from the enemies that you kill. So you get more health and do more damage and move faster and get bigger and all this kind of stuff as you're fighting through the Path of Exile. And when you actually zoom in on a Minotaur's belt, it actually looks like a Headhunter from Path of Exile. And I was like, you need to put... It just makes sense. Right, that's perfectly logical. Why the Minotaur needs to be the next one?
Sure.
Hey man, I'm combining Blood Bowl and Path of Exile.
How could I really be
more happy right now? You know what I mean? Hey, don't even start with me. You're currently playing a card game.
You don't know that.
Yeah, I do. We both know you are.
You don't know.
We'll see. It'll come out.
You don't know.
The truth will out, my friend. Yes. I want to do just a general PSA section, and I don't like PSAs too much because it always feels a bit preachy. But we're talking about Rebel in general, and I just want to talk about the fact that we are Rebel, and there's an R in Rebel, and it stands
and
for
it stands
Reddit.
For Rebelnet.
Rebel.net. This is how that happens. You know when you get those utter, like, department of redundancy departments? This is how that happens, is by being so successful you grow out of your original title. But REBBL stands for the Rebel Reddit Eternal Blood. You said Rebel Eternal Blood Bowl League. See, you almost got me on it, Fed. No, the Reddit Eternal Blood Bowl League. And because, yes, we do have to schedule our games, and yes, sometimes the games don't get played, and I understand that. Stuff gets in the way. But we do ask you to schedule on Reddit because there's 33 admins at last count. We are drastic. Unfortunately, due to like real life and stuff, people like Rumblebee had to step down. And certain other admins have had to step back a little bit in their responsibilities because like life happens and stuff, you know what I mean? But there's about 33 of us, and there's 650 of you lot. So I'd rather ask 650 of you lot to take 30 seconds to post on Reddit than have to ask my 33 admins to chase down every game that doesn't get played. Right? Like, I don't think that's being rude or disrespectful to you guys. But if you don't post on Reddit, and your match doesn't get played, it's not going to go well for you. That's just the rules. You sign up to them right at the start of the season. So can we follow the rules, please? If you don't like the rules, and you want us to change them, middle of the season, not the time to talk to us about it. Because middle of the season, we can't change the rules. Imagine if we change one of the rules. Fed, how would people react if we just went, that rule doesn't exist anymore?
You're making a good point, but I also would want to piggyback on the fact that, you know, this rule is not a new rule. This is not a rule that really has been... I mean, it's been thoroughly discussed, but it's not one that's getting changed anytime soon in the sense that it exists for a reason. We've had that reason in place for a long time.
We're on season 13. We've been scheduling on Reddit since season 1.
Yeah, this is not new. You know, many of you have been playing here for a long time and ignoring that rule. And if you get caught, eventually, over time, as we've warned you many times, will probably happen. I don't want to see a surprise Pikachu.
Yeah.
I just don't.
And you know what? Almost without fail, almost everyone's argument is, well, if I agreed to do this, and then my opponent agreed to this, and then they didn't show up, I'd be at their mercy because... and it's like, you're not at their mercy, you're at your mercy. If you post on Reddit that you've agreed on a time, or you haven't agreed on a time, or your availability is X, Y, and Z, and then they don't respond, or they miss the game, or something untoward happens, like, that's okay because you've covered yourself because you've made the post, right? Your opponent can't be to blame.
In order to have any argument or discussion about the scheduling and availability of you and your opponent for the entirety of the week, you must have a Reddit post. If you do not have a Reddit post, everything else that leads up to that point and after that point does not matter. Period. End of story.
But it's not your opponent's fault. Your opponent has never gone to you.
Speaking as
please
the person
don't post
that's on
the
secret inner council that gets to decide that. So it's that's how it is. That's just how it is. Have a post, period. If you want to not get into
a bad situation. If you don't have a post and something comes up and you don't play your game, take it like a man. You made the choice. Yeah. You made the choice.
That's specific to a person that's not in the league anymore. My comment is
not
everyone
else
in the league.
It's specific to everyone who's ever got a strike over Reddit scheduling and tried to make an argument of it. I've heard this story a lot. It's 13 seasons, Superfan.
It's definitely
not
a new story. That's
it's not a new argument. But genuinely, I don't like doing this segment on the podcast. I don't want to talk about... We've just had a really nice chat with Mongoose. We've talked about our games. We've bounced off Viking Cup a bit and found out all the cool stuff he's doing in the community. I don't want to have to put this segment in the podcast, but...
It's the dad voice segment. Like, I'm not mad. I'm just very disappointed.
I am. In my best dad impression, I'm not angry at you all. I'm just disappointed. It's like, I thought we were past this, Rebel. Like, come on. And you know what, right? And it means we have to get mean. And it may surprise you, but even Superfed doesn't like getting mean with people. Believe it or not, I know it's hard, but he doesn't like shouting at people. You know why? Because it means work. It means he has to log out of Legends of Runeterra and write a warning or a strike or a ban. He doesn't want to do that. Why would we want to do that? Why would we want to give people warnings and strikes? We don't. It's work. We already have enough on our plates. There's 650 of you! 33 of us. We've got enough.
Seriously.
Have I made my point? Viking Cop, have I made my point?
I think that if you don't schedule on Reddit, you're plainly being lazy. Period.
And you know what? We've had some feedback and we've been asked to make it as easy as possible to find the Reddit scheduling threads, and you will find a brand new Reddit channel, a brand new Discord channel, sorry, just under the announcement called Scheduling Threads, and we will update every week the Scheduling Threads channel we'll delete the old ones, we'll replace it with new ones, and we'll have them up there every week to make it that little bit easier for you to find your... Because, you know, there was a coach who went to me. I actually have... come from the Rookie League, and I'm not on the Rebel subreddit yet, and I didn't know where to find these threads. Can you help me out? And I was like, yeah, but there's a link. And I showed him where to do it, and it wasn't a case of he was being lazy or rude or not. He just didn't know because he'd come up from the Rookie League, and they obviously had, until very recently, their own Reddit page, their own subreddit. So I get that he didn't know where I was, and now he does. If you don't know what you're doing, talk to us. We're actually quite nice people. Superfed's not. No, he is. Superfed's a good guy. Even Superfed will sit there and explain to you exactly what you need to do to get a decent Reddit post out. Because we don't want to have to shout at you. And I've gone on far too long, so I'm going to stop. What else has happened around... Is there anything else happening around Rebel Superfed? Is there anything that you're aware of that I haven't covered?
Just games getting played.
There's a lot of games getting
played. Playoff results forming. Actually, yes. Div 5s. Attention, Div 5s. If you have not been paying attention and living under a rock and ignoring Reddit or the announcements, your season is entirely different this year than ever before.
Oh, God, you're yes. We're coming to the split, right?
Exactly. We are coming to the split, and if you are tired of your team, fear not. You do not have to play them much longer. And once that point comes up, I don't know. Do you know the specifics? This wasn't my thing.
You will
thing.
Have to play a team. You just won't have to play your current team.
you're not dropping. You're just...
You know, you're, essentially, the way it goes from here is that the top runners in your division go into a new... they go into the post-split division and they all play off for playoff tickets and Challenger Cup tickets. And everyone at the bottom goes into, essentially, a happy, happy fun zone where you all play other people who also didn't make it to the top half. And at that point, you can choose to re-roll your team, if you wish, into a brand new team. But you will be playing people who haven't re-rolled their team. So you know, it may give you a head start on next season. It may also have you play 11 Norse dudes with no skills against a 1300, 1400 Dark Elf team that has skills. So there's always that. it may not be the best idea to reroll, but it is entirely your choice, and that's the joy of it. You can keep your team and start developing it towards. And you know what? If your team has been utterly destroyed, it might actually be worth rerolling simply to get a head start on next time. Because frankly, your team got destroyed, right? All of this is on Haringzod's post. Important expected changes to Division 5 structure just over 2 months ago. Before we start the season, this was posted and everything. It allows us to distribute playoff tickets better. And
yeah, that's the thing I was going to touch on. It's just the reasons behind it. Like we are still trying to, you know, work out our playoff ticket distribution because we're not going to go bigger than 64 teams or 61 teams. We're not. It's what we've created. And so because of that, we need to look at all the options on the table, and this is one option that we're trying to see how it works out. No guarantees it'll stick around next year, but if it works out well, and so far it's working out well, you know, we can keep it around.
Well, one of the things I've always been proud of Rebel is our willingness to change things up. It's not like we've never had the attitude that we're going to keep doing this because it's the way we've always done this. That's very much, I think, one of the things that makes us a lot more dynamic than a lot of other leagues is we're willing to change the format and go, well, actually that didn't work, so let's do this. Or, ooh, let's try this and see if this works, and if it works, it becomes a part of Rebel. And if it doesn't, well, ultimately we kill it, because, yeah, that I quite like that about us. I think that's a smart way to set it up. But what it means for you guys in Div 5s is once you've played your first eight weeks, because there's eight teams in a division now, so it's 7 weeks, you then have a 1 week off period. So week 8, when you would play a game, you don't. You won't have an opponent, you won't be in a division, you probably won't be in a division, specifically, we'll probably have to delete the old divisions to set up the new ones because we're only allowed so many divisions in a competition because Blood Bowl 2 is silly and was clearly never programmed by anyone who had to run a league ever. Because, yeah, thanks, Cyanide. Then you'll get a new ticket to either go into the Plains Round Robin or the still, it was at the time of the post, it was the as yet untitled non-Plains Round Robin. And unfortunately, we're still at the as yet untitled non-Plains Round Robin because I think we all forgot to name it.
Smooth.
We're good at this, honest. I don't know, I think it was one of those things that just never came up, right? Like, it's not on our radar yet because we can fix it in that week off. We've been smart. We're not doing it in this is the end of the round and someone like Viking Cop is playing on Wednesday at 8 PM or something. I don't know what time you're playing with Viking Cop, but Jesus.
More or less like 8 PM, yeah, right.
You know that's a pain in the ass for your admin who has to roll your division. You're aware of that, yeah?
Yep.
Good.
It's McNuggets, I don't care.
That's a fair argument. it's a fair argument. Screw McNuggets. He's a really good friend, I get to say that. If in the past, when we've left ourselves these kind of situations, we've gone, oh, it'll be fine, we'll fix that on, like, you know, we'll fix that, and then we'll start the next one. And you can't. Stuff like this, all of the Div 5s need calculating and reticketing and figuring out who's the best and setting up in a way where we try and minimise the number of opponents they've played before, so it's not just a case of rerunning the top three from your division or whatever, because that's not fun. So we've given ourselves a week, which is, I feel, quite smart for a change. We're being intelligent. We're working smarter, not harder. You can't tell, but I just winked there.
Lexi. Sorry.
Mate, trust me, it's not as easy as you might think.
I know. It's joking.
But yeah, so look out for more information. I'm hoping to poke all of your divisional recappers over the next couple of days, and I'm going to get the recappers to remind everybody in their divisions that this is all happening if they recap a fresh division. So listen out for those recaps. And we'll find out, because you should know by now who's winning your division. I know it's not me. I'm close. I'm close, but I ain't getting there. But you know what? I didn't necessarily want it. So I'm okay with
submarining. He's submarining.
Dude, I've got a Might Blow Werewolf that can't hurt anything.
I had an entire season of having to hear that, so I get to say it now.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
You know what? I can't. It's 1,000 IQ. I can't submarine if I reroll my team at the end of the season. Like,
nope,
the
last doesn't matter. Submarining.
Everyone, you can't have that, because people are going to be 50% going, it's Metal Gun, he's going to reroll his team again. And the other 50% of them are going to be going, submarining, and they both can't be right. So at least 50% of all people who...
No one ever cares about being right in Rebel.
I do.
They just want to scream.
Oh.
hence the unwritten Metal is always right rule. Yeah. Shall we move on?
Sure.
I don't think there's anything else happening. I don't think I've been pinged to talk about any other things. Crusader might move to England, apparently. That's a thing. Completely. I was talking about it. He's asked me to be a referee for him to say that I've known him and he's not a criminal. I was like, well, you are an Australian. I had to get one big oh, I am sorry. But the big threatening realization was, if he moves to England, does this mean he's going to have to cast G-Man games?
Oh.
And he was like, no! But the thing is, it's actually great for me. If he suddenly starts casting G-Man games every evening, it actually frees up that sweet 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. time slot, where actually I can stream and don't, because I don't want to stream over other people. It's a bit weird if I go, I'm the boss, so I'm going to stream all these Big O games when there's a ton of Big O casters who actually want to stream the Big O games, right? It feels a little bit mean and a little bit like stepping on people's toes. But if the biggest of the most prolific of the Big O casters moves to streaming G-Man games, I actually can step up and fill that spot and totally cover all of those games and get my stream on a bit more, which is pretty cool.
Totally.
So it might work out okay. It might not. You might be seeing more Metal streams. And also, I still have a couple of guys who've contacted me already about the Patreon reward, so I've got some games to cast. So there's going to be more Metal streams coming up in the near future. Anyway, I haven't told my fiance yet, so we'll see if I'm still got a fiance by the time I explain that one to her. Oh, it's fun. Right. Shall we do the top 40? Is it time? Is it that time?
Sure.
Feels that time. As a quick rundown to Fed, who have we got on the list?
We've got, now officially, Thomas T, The Sage, Ornan, Motley, McMackey, Morka, Sandune, Viking Cop himself joining us today, Gerber, Kedgy Rouge, Japen Z, Staticus, Randomoy, Luminous, Says, G'day Nick, ArchXL, Crystal Hunter, Dirtief Basher, and Mistakes.
And Wolfbark, right? No, wait, no, don't mind.
No.
Darby was like, I've had so many people go, you woke us up, or you broke our ears, after the last podcast. And again, I'm sorry, but I was getting a little frustrated. It made me chuckle. It was good fun. Darby was referencing it today on Crusader's stream. Viking Cop is on the list, the top 40 list. You're here, and you're on the list. How does that feel?
Strange. I mean, it was really funny that when I was late catching up with podcasts, and then somebody wrote it in the My Dudes channel that I was nominated for something. I said, okay, I need to really start listening to this stuff again. So I downloaded a few of them, put them in my way to the job in the car, while commuting, and then I understood what you were doing, you mental guys. You're raising controversy here, which I love. I thought, okay, I have a name. If I was to be asked for a name in this list, I have a name, and then my name nominated me, which it was fun.
Oh wow, okay, so that's going to be spicy. How do you feel about it? Do you feel like you're a top 40 Rebel coach of all time? Is that? I mean, I know you're quite like chill when it comes to Blood Bowl, and I've always said you're one of the opponents I love playing the most because you don't care who dies. Like, you're just if your players die, and we sat there on voice talking about it, you're just laughing, right, throughout.
Well, I'm not that a fan of rankings, to be honest. I don't like to put people on top of other people. I can say that, of course, I have a list of coaches that I really think that they're really, really good, and that they are, let's say, better coaches than myself. I always use myself as a baseline. So I think that everybody who is worse than me has real problems. Very nice. Okay, competent at least, because I call myself just a competent coach, experienced one, which at the end of the day it adds up to your game style. But I'm not that an amazing coach, but I can get results. I know the drill. I've been playing for over a decade. At the end of the day, so I mean, I'm familiar with the game, and I can take it easy, and I'm immune to salt. That is something in this game.
Yeah, I have to say I've never ever heard you tilt ever when I've been on voice with you or seen you play. I've never heard that. Like your best player could die and you'll probably still be laughing about it. Like I said earlier.
Well, I may not laugh if it's something important, but nowadays I'm taking a more easy approach to the game. I still play my best, but I'm hardened in that aspect. So yeah, when somebody dies, we had to die. Who cares? Keep playing. it is like this. I mean, there's nothing you can do against that. But yes, I love to hear that some of my favorite coaches are in the list already. So that is Gerber, who was the one who nominated me, and also Sandyung, who I really, really, really admire. I love watching his head. This is something beautiful. But today I have a name myself.
I've got one more question because I'm being that guy. Do you think you'd be higher up in the list if you took piling on?
No,
there's not a higher up, a lower up. You're on the list. You're not.
No, I wanted to bring up the fact that I just wanted to reference the fact that the man will not take piling on anyone.
No, it's not my playstyle. Sorry.
But you have. There has been games where I've gone, oh my god, he really needed piling on to kind of turn this. And I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy that goes, you need piling on, right? But occasionally you see these matches and you're like, oh, he's just got so many stuns. Like, so many stuns. So how could, you know, if he'd had piling on, he may have converted a few to a bit more damage and it might have been a better game for him. And I've felt myself going, maybe if he had piling on, this game would have gone better.
Yeah, maybe. It's really not my play style. It's not my way of doing things. Early when I was learning the great game and playing my first leagues and stuff, I used to play a lot of meta, like I think everybody does when they start a game. And you try to learn the game, to understand it, how the mechanics are working, which is good, which is bad, which is maybe not that good, but could be situational, strongly situational. And after so many years, I developed, an eye to identify quickly which is very good and which is not that good and which is what you call in English broken, mm-hmm. Okay? Which is so good that it sucks. And one of the combos that I think that is a bit broken, it's my opinion, please guys, don't raise your voice because I know there's a lot of people thinking otherwise, but I think that the Chromite Blow Palinon combo is a bit broken because it becomes, it makes the strategic game into a dice chucking game, which I don't like, sorry. So
it skews the balance more towards the dice than the strategy.
It becomes the blood way bigger than the bowl in the game.
But, well, yeah.
Okay,
I think there's strategy in having one, or two.
I like to I like to have one tactical.
When you have choice. If you have more than four, you're not getting anything ever. If you have really more than two, you're only getting extra on your kickoffs. But yeah, it's
well, unless you are Papa Nasty, but I've already
or your opponents gone are basing through that. Really yes. Crazy.
So. No, but it's not my play style. I mean, I'm also a tabletop gamer. I play Warhammer 40K. And in the games I play, I never use, you know, the last minute rule set combo, which is super... No. I play my games. I play easy. I play consistent. And I win you. And that is the way
then,
I
you
like
know what? You do
it.
Tend to win. You know, it's not like this is your first go around the block. You're back on your way up to towards G-Man 1 with Chaos again. So you clearly... doing well, right?
Well, that was because I had a really stupid run in the Challengers Cup where I end up in the final, which I lost because I was stupid. But that's another story. And yeah, I mean, this is my style. I like the challenge, if you can understand that.
I am sorry for anyone who thinks this is a segue and was expecting top 40 content, but we can't have Viking Cup without talking about piling on at least once.
And Cheetos, yes.
It's one of the rules, right? It's Cheetos. It's the rules. So, who is
back
your nomination?
Top 40 content?
For top 40.
I was going to say, well, I mean, Viking Cop was one that we talked about when he was nominated, and like one of my favorite games of Bubble ever was in the playoffs against Viking Cop.
Oh, yes, I remember that. But that
was
a game.
Fun game. That was a fun game.
Like I said, that's one of the things you're guaranteed to have if you play Viking Cop. Win or lose, you'll have a fun game because you're just one of those opponents that is easy to chat to, and you get on, you know, you just get on with everyone. As far I've never met anyone that's gone, can't stand that Viking Cop fella.
Well, you can ask Cornite because he hates Cetus, but besides that,
fair enough. Right, so who are you putting on the top 40?
Okay, so I think in theory I'm supposed to nominate a G-Man coach because I hail from G-Man, and G-Man versus Ariel, GM Metal versus Superfed, and all these crazy people who do not care anything about Big O. But I think I'm going to cheat to Metal. I'm going to nominate an Ariel coach.
Okay.
But I'm also going to cheat a little bit with this because I'm going to call Toast Guy.
I like that pick a lot. Why are you gonna tell us why you're gonna pick Toast Guy?
Well, first of all, I know Toast Guy since I G-Man 1 back in season 6, and he had this kind of crazy going high elf team called maybe this rings a bell, Interdimensional Bullshit. Which had some of the craziest elves we have seen ever here, with some of the real fun names, such as Am I Useless, who more than one will remember, and other funny ones like Canon Fodelf and Meat for Viking Cop, which he bought a lineman for our last game. And he made a couple of good playoff runs with this. Before he decided to, yeah, reroll. The team was dying. I mean, G-Man 1, elves, blah, 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 blah. And it was part of the agreement that we had that I would go for another run in G-Man 1, one season, and he would wait me so we could, you know, have a party diff in Division, not 5, but 8. In that time, we had like a million divisions. So he rolled two goblins, the goblin boners, whatever, which he hated so much. but this team was the origin from Brendan Gallagher, one of the most useless goblins that Rebel has ever seen, but who was brought to glory by myself in the Superstar Shootout version, I don't know, 2 or 3. Where when he won the thing with the Stantis, which was lovely, then he re-rolled back to he changed the team. He changed to from Agi to Bash to Undead, and very appropriately called the team Interdimensional Bullshit.
These aren't counting as Viking Cup ones because these are genuinely the team names.
That's the name of the team. Yeah,
I'm afraid. Yeah. So anyone who sat there going, he's swan twice and Metal hasn't called him out, and no one's asking Grandview King to note the time. He did actually note the time, by the way, in the last podcast recap.
Excellent.
You'll be glad to know that, yeah. He threw that down. Yeah. This was actually the name of the team. We know. I know, right?
Yeah. Like... Yeah. And with his under team, he was able also to make at least two or three good playoff runs, which was quite impressive because we all know that Undead is kind of struggling when it comes to higher divs and playoff performance. Then he moved to Ariel. He moved back to America. I mean, he's been always in America but because he's an American guy. But because of time zone or activity, he had to quit in G-Man. And he's playing now Skaven, with which he has also reached playoffs, if I'm correct.
Is he Skaven now? Is that what he is playing Skaven? Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
He's Rats. He's Rats, yeah. And at the moment, he's second in his division. So, funny thing is that the super elf that I mentioned, Am I Useless, got reincarnated into a super mummy called Am I Useless, with who was something like Bloodsperm Guard, Break Tackle, I don't know, crazy mummy. And there is a...
You said Bloodsperm, and it's like, yeah, this is getting silly already, right?
It's a mummy.
Yeah. So he was so good.
It was amazing. And there's still a rat in his team called the Rat Bastards. The name of the rat is...
Can someone get on the Tor Sky and ask him to stop naming teams after swear words?
Yes. The name of the rat is I Am Useless. It's not it's not a question anymore. So the guy plays like a champ. He's been playing with me also in Clan for many seasons. He won Clan in Season 4. Together with the rest of the crew. And he is the coach who I can really rely to bring up results. Because he plays like a devil. He plays it so well. Be it Agi, be it Dash, be it Dash, Bash, whatever. You can't trust him. Because he knows the business and he plays it really well. And it's really difficult to win him.
He is. I've had the pleasure of playing Tor Sky a couple of times. I played him in Clan and in G-Man over. I think he started G-Man at the same time I did, back in Season 1. I believe he's one of our Season 1 veterans. And there was always, and it's a funny story actually, his original interdimensional BS elf team was always considered at the time to be the light version of Walkathon's elf team. Because Walkathon had an elf team at the same time that was named after authors. I can't remember the name of the team now, because actually it turns out that Tor Sky surpassed Walkathon. But we always used to refer to them as Walkathon's team and Walkathon's team light. Which was never a diss on Tor Sky. It was just they always seemed to just be that little bit behind them in the standings. But then, and Walkathon's a great coach as well. Walkathon probably is deserving of this list.
I agree. I played him actually in the first week of Clan. Yeah, a week ago.
Yeah, he's still really good. But Tor Sky went on to surpass that and got out from under... Someone's going to... Gerber should know this, actually, because I'm pretty sure he's played both of these teams. But if not, I know someone will correct me and my dudes and let me know the name of Walkathon's old team, because I cannot for the life of me remember anymore. It was a long time ago now. It's like over 3 years since we started this Rebel malarkey. We've been doing this a while. We always referred to him as it was like Elven something. Oh, what was it called? Oh, it's gonna kill me. Anyway, we always used to think of Tor Sky as the light version of Walkathon, and he really has surpassed him in a lot of ways because he just keeps coming back with a new team. You can never count him out. He's gonna turn up in playoffs time and again, no matter what he's playing.
Yeah, he's so good with the game, and he's also such a nice guy. I don't know if you know him personally.
I've chatted to Tor Sky a ton. Yeah. He's always a pleasure to play.
It's amazing. It's so cool. It's so, it's a pleasure playing with a coach like him. When we were competing in G-Man 1, we were on chat, and it was so much fun. Chat was funnier than the game. I mean, it's amazing having people like him in the community, and therefore I think he deserves my vote.
Yeah, and it's always nice when they're all a great coach and they're also a really nice dude. Like, it's just that proof that you don't have to have that bad boy kind of attitude to do well at the game, right? We're not playing a MOBA. That's what I'm trying to say. Superfed is. Superfed's playing the card game of a MOBA.
No.
You don't know that?
So, would you agree with Toskai Superfed? Have you played?
Yeah,
have you played him?
Have I played him? No, I've watched him in the playoffs enough to say that that's a good pick. But I have not played him.
He's one of those coaches that is always seems to be incredibly confident. Like he knows what's up. He knows what's coming. He knows what's about to, you know, he knows what he's going to do. Like, mm-hmm. And he's not afraid to just take the actions needed to execute it, even if you don't want to play my die, and that's okay. And there's a lot of coaches who shy away from like, you know, having, you see coaches, like, they play scared of Claw, for example, especially on a team like Undead, where you've got those high-value mummies that, if you did lose one, it's such a blow to the team. But ultimately, like, you've kind of got to just get stuck in there sometimes, or you do lose games. And he's never been one of those coaches that's ever been afraid to get stuck in there. What you got for a Superfed?
Oh, I'm going next again? All right. This one's going to not be a surprise, honestly. This one is, in my opinion, the strongest coach to ever play in Rebel. And he's going to be coming back. It's Horny Cricket.
He was, you know what? He was low-key one of the ones I'd penciled in that I'm going to talk about this dude if you don't mention him soon.
It's kind of, well, I mean, after you lowered the bar, I figured I should probably start taking some of the higher bar ones.
What? Wait, after I did what?
Yeah. Just to kind of work through those. So, yeah, Horny Cricket. He has not only won the Super Bowl more than anyone else.
That's twice, by the way, anyone who's keeping score.
He's done it from the top. So he wins it from Div 1, which is not something that any other coach, I think, can claim.
I don't.
Maybe Bleeding Hippie, but I'm pretty sure.
Every no, other Bleeding Hippie came won. From Div 2.
Yeah, so I don't think anyone has actually won from Div 1 except Horny Cricket, which is an endorsement and statement in and of itself. The way he plays is really a great balance of risk and reward and just insanity. So he's made some crazy plays. He's got good dice. He's develops his teams very keenly. And I think if you were going to watch a single coach, he's also got results outside of Rebel, you know, done great things on the CCL ladder and things like that. But if you were trying to get better at the game, he is definitely a coach to watch.
I would agree. I don't think I've ever played cricket, but I have had the pleasure of casting a lot of his games. And I think in the summary is, you always come away going, he's a bit good at this game, this fella, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually dead excited to have him back. For what it's worth.
Yeah, he's always done well in Clan as well. I think his team originally won the first season of Clan or something.
They won season 2, I think?
Sure. Something. They won something.
they got a thing at some point, probably.
In a league that I don't play in.
He's back in Clan already, and he's totally getting... like I said, when he said he was coming back into Rebel, I was like, yeah, you better watch out, Rel. Because this guy's no joke.
I mean, there's a vacancy for him right now in Rel 1 that he can always fill.
Has he got a team that is suitable?
Qualifies, I believe. I believe he didn't play anything after he retired the Necro.
Oh, wow, that would be a thing, watching the Necro.
Right?
The Necro
just come in and just dominate.
Slot back in. I think he's a bit late. To pull a Spoonie Bard. Think he's just a little bit late. I think it's too late in the season to come in and qualify. He might be able to push for fifth, but I think it's too close, too late.
He could pull an MPA. I mean, MPA was really like one point shy when he filled in for Wave.
Yeah. True. But anyway, yeah, no, if you've not seen it, his game against the Sage in the playoff final was just... It was one of those moments where me and Zod were looking at it going, Sage is maybe made an uncharacteristic mistake here if Cricket spots it. And we both kind of went to each other, well, he's going to spot it. It's Cricket, right? He's not going to allow... He's one of those coaches that if you make a mistake, he knows you've made a mistake and he is going to punish you from just any angle he can get in at to punish you. And I think that's... It's always a pleasure watching a coach like that because it helps keep a lot of people honest, for one.
Mm-hmm.
in terms of you have to be at your very best, or you're just going to get nailed, right?
Yeah, and he's done it with two different races. He played Blizzards at a very high level. He still does. And Necro are just a ridiculous team, and he showed just how ridiculous they are.
Very much so. And just great. He always a good guy to talk to as well. Lovely fella. You can tell he's very knowledgeable when you chat to him. I do like chatting to coaches who know their stuff and are able to explain what they've got going on.
I would love to see what he can do with an Agi team. I don't know which one he would choose or anything, or even if he does play Agi, but I would love to see what he does with one.
Yeah, would you reckon it'll ever happen?
Maybe. Never know.
Elven Fantasy, by the way. I remembered. Walkathon, Elven Fantasy. And it was Elven Fantasy and Elven Fantasy Light. was the argument. And, sorry, it's took me this long of sitting there thinking about it to hit on the name of the guy, name of the team. So, yeah, that was Walkathon. It's completely irrelevant. We got there in the end, boys. It was completely irrelevant.
We did it, Reddit.
It's so irrelevant to anything that's happening right now. But, you know, Honey Cricket, great coach. I don't think can be ever argued. And like I say,
on that list forever. Anyone that tries to take him off is wrong.
He's a double Super Bowl champion. I mean, I don't think anyone would even approach trying to take him off because he's got the chop. He's not just got the chops, he's got the actual evidence. He can go, look, there's my Super Bowl trophy. I actually got one. And there's my Super Bowl win before I got a Super Bowl trophy. And can you take me off? I don't think you can. Good. Right. I am also crossing the pond. Superfed's gonna be insanely.
Oh, it's a Relisode.
He's gonna. Yeah, I was gonna say. Thanks. I like that. Relisode. In my tradition now of ruining Superfed's day by stealing.
Trying to salt me up. Yeah.
Trying to either salt you up or steal your choices or otherwise get in there and just trip you when you least expect it. Ladies and gentlemen, for my top 40. I am nominating Superfed.
All right. I've been threatening to nominate myself in a Discord channel for a long time. So you are stepping on stepping in front of my path.
I've been waiting for you to suggest a guest that I knew would nominate you, and you have not done it yet. So I was like, oh well, we're gonna get this out of the way because right. Anyone who thinks Superfed doesn't belong on this top 40 list has never seen Superfed play. That is the long and the short of my argument. I am speaking categorically. If you think Superfed is one of the top 40 coaches in Rebel, you've not watched him play. Don't watch him stream his games because he's a salty bitch. My God, when you stream, probably reduce your performance by about 20% because because you play a character.
I've explained that to so many people.
You play a character. Definitely. I've spoken to you off the podcast one to one, and that you're not the same person.
Like I streamed probably, like, if I was to total it up, over 2,000 hours. Maybe no, actually probably even more than 2,000 hours. I streamed probably closer to like 5,000 hours of just video games, not Blood Bowl. And that developed me into a character where I can't turn it off when I'm on camera at this point. It helped me socially and, you know, other things like that.
I mean, it's still you. Like, it's just you plus just 20. It's you 20% larger than life, right?
I'm trying to entertain.
Whereas my form of entertainment is basically just be me and see if people like it or not, right? That's kind of how I work. But,
Do you realize that 5,000 hours is basically above 200 days?
Oh, yeah. Yes. I streamed every day for over 5 hours a day for like half a year.
This is before Rebel, for the record.
Before Rebel, exactly. I tried to be a Twitch streamer at one point in my life.
Hence the TV in your name, right?
That's... Exactly. Like the Superfed TV, like dude, the Twitch TV in your name is a meme, by the way, now. But when I did it, it was before Twitch even existed. It was on Justin TV. And like I was thinking of, you know, Superfed TV as a video gaming channel and explaining that to people that had never even heard about streaming online. So it was a long time ago, and I don't have any current aspirations to ever do anything like that again. This podcast is more than enough for me. But but anyway, that background is like why when I stream, I know I play worse, and I try to entertain, and I know what the Blood Bowl community wants, and this that is salty tears.
This is my thing as well. This is why I never stream my own games unless it's a game in like a side league that doesn't matter.
Right.
That's just a bit of fun because I know for a fact that I also streamed. I wasn't overly successful, but you know, I was building a small community. I was like a variety stream, and I could pull 50 viewer streams, which for a variety streamer starting out at the time that I did.
No, that's a benchmark. That's pretty good. That's probably the first step on you actually saying to yourself, I should probably do this more. Because if you can get 100 people to consistently show up in your stream, that is the turning point where you are actually making money and like
they start talking about you for partner and stuff at that point.
Right.
So you're getting 50 is real. Yeah, so 50. Yeah, it took time and it took effort and it took a lot of 1 to 2 view streams and 3 to 4 view streams and stuff like that. But I've done that ride, and because I've done that ride, when I stream my own games, I tend to pay more attention to chat than I do my game, and I play worse because I'm paying a lot of attention to chat. Because I understand that as far as when you're a variety streamer, your chat, if you don't interact with your chat, you don't have a variety stream. Because when you've got a 20 viewer stream, a 30 viewer stream, a 40 viewer stream, a 50 viewer stream, you need to build that feeling of being part of something, of togetherness, of community from the off. Because if you don't, people won't stick around.
Right.
But I can't turn it off now because it took me like a year or something to build up that, and that's not bad. I mean, you hear all the time on like the Twitch subreddit and stuff, like there's one and they're going, how do I get past 5 years? I've been streaming for 2 years. It's like, if you've been streaming for 2 years and can't get past 5 years, you can't, you're not a streamer. You'll never make it.
Turn off your stream and start doing something else.
Yeah, find another hobby because it's not working for you, kind of thing. But yeah, I got there. I was on the grind up, and then like real life happened, and my situation changed. And
same, that's exactly what happened to me.
There's a point where you have to sit there and
stop evaluating this option and focus on something that's a little bit more directly in front of you.
Well, yeah, there's a point where you go, do I commit the next year of my life to something that is going to be incredibly hard and will probably fail, and there's a chance that I might get something out of it, or do I go and actually like do this real life stuff that I guarantee will have good returns.
Right.
Oh gosh, it's super fun real life now.
Well, I guess
we're not talking about
Blood Bowl.
Yeah, we needed
just
to
had to
frame.
Get the backstory on streaming. Yeah.
And I've been there, and I can help frame a lot of what you go for. If you tune into Superfed stream, you may be right in thinking Superfed not the best coach in the universe, because like I say, no offense, you do play worse on stream. But you all
still think me at my worst is still better than some of the people that have been put on this list.
Wow. And that right there, ladies and gentlemen.
That's why I said I would nominate myself at some point.
That right there, ladies and gentlemen, is why I almost didn't pick him.
Too late, you did.
But that being said, as much as he's an arrogant ass at times, he's earned that arrogance because he's a bloody good coach. Like, yes, it's a meme that Superfed's a tryhard, but you know what? Tryhards who are good at something, it's not wrong to try hard. Like, tryhard is far too often used in my mind. I use it because I know it's just funny, right? It's that broadcaster kind of entertainment thing that Superfed's a tryhard. Ooh, everyone laughs. You know, he mentioned poker. Ooh, everyone laughs, kind of thing. You know, it's just one of those things, but it doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It's okay to approach a competitive game with the desire to win. And I don't know where it ever came from in the internet community that wanting to win, as long as you're not a dick about it, wanting to win is okay. It's okay to care about winning. And I don't know where it ever came from that it isn't. But you do. You care about winning. You take it very, very seriously, which can lead to you getting really salty when you roll a 1 at the worst time and all you needed was a 2.
It doesn't happen when the stream's off or when it matters, which is why I turn the stream off when I think it matters. Like, if I can't afford to play Tilted, then I won't stream.
Well, I'm just going to say, I've got Rebel.net right in front of me, and you know who is second in Division 2A right now? You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have a team, and you're second in Division 2A.
No, I disagree. He has 7 rats.
That's half a team.
Well, one of them is amazing. It's an Agility 5 Gutter Runner with Blood, Sure Hands, and Leap.
I'm minus move.
Oh, movement 8. Oh, he's so slow.
Oh, it's terrible.
And he has a dirty player. I like it.
Of course I have a dirty player.
If you're unaware, for the record.
I will always advocate for fouling. I don't, like, I'm down players and I still foul because your opponents give you the best foul targets ever. Any player that has a Palmer deserves to get fouled.
Yes!
And the fact that people don't foul Palmers in this league very often is kind of an indication of their skill level.
Oh god, I do.
I know you do. There's just too many people that are afraid to foul, especially with like a 90k or 120k player. And not only are you potentially removing something that's going to remove you, but you're also potentially protecting a good player. Sometimes fouling with your gutter runner is a good play.
I watched Viking Cop foul with his ball carrier in the Challenger Cup. So at this point, yeah. I just know anything can happen with this man. So
it's true.
Well, you said before that I don't use piling on. I forgot to answer that I have found the counter to piling on. I don't need piling on as long as I can keep fouling.
I don't need piling on. I've got dirty player.
Yes.
Put that on a t-shirt.
And I have. If I run out of dirty player, I still have a play with sure hands, with which I can.
Do you reckon Rebel could sell t-shirts that say I don't need PO. I've got DP.
Yes, please.
I don't think there's any negative consequences or connotations that could be applied to that shirt.
I can't think of any. No. So anyway, back onto the... We're getting away from the topic a lot because we've had to explain a lot of what people may have come to expect from you as a community personality. And I think it's difficult because I think... Like, if you look at Haringzord, he's probably good enough to be on this list if he stops playing Khemri for 5 minutes. Because he wins a lot and then he plays Khemri. But when he streams his games, he does
Zord
worse.
Needs to play an Agi team as well. Not that I'm saying everybody needs to play an Agi team, but like I've seen Zord play Dwarfs and I've seen him play Khemri, but I want to see him play something with movement speed above 6.
He actually played in Elf League and almost won the first season, having never played Elves before.
But in the main league.
Okay, I'm just saying, the point is, if you can pick up a league where everyone, including people who play Elves a lot, are all playing Elves, and you've never played Elves before, and you can still do well, that's a sign of a good coach. But we're not talking about Hanzo, we're talking about you. No, and your Orcs, Brazzers, how many times they got playoffs? Was it twice? 3 times?
They never finished below 3rd place. And I played them for 6 seasons. Or 7 seasons.
That's something.
Your Kislev went to...
And yeah, they didn't ever make playoffs, which made me sad.
Did they make Challenger once? Did you make Challenger on them? Or did you not make Challenger?
They would have been Challenger if Challenger was a thing. They got 2nd place in Div 7. But that was the year before we had Challenger Cup. And then they got 1 spot below playoffs in Div 2.
Okay, so you've always been either... You've always been there...
I tried to make Kislev work, and the people that I beat were very, very unhappy with the way that I played Kislev, because they just couldn't do anything.
You tended to beat them by a lot as well. Your wins...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
To be fair, the only time... The time that I specifically remember that you didn't make playoffs on your Kislev, it's worthy of note, you were in one of those divisions with 1 playoff ticket, and there was you and another coach. I can't remember the guy's name.
Rats of Storm.
And he was playing Skaven. And basically, you two turned that division into a battlefield. Like, it was a 2-man division with 12 coaches who were the scenery, the setting, the backdrop.
We would grab other teams and hit each other with the other team.
Like, it was like you'd look at that division and every coach one of these two guys played were getting beat 3-0, 4-0, 5-1, 4-1. It was like, you guys knew there was one spot. You guys knew touchdown differential was going to come into it at some point, probably. And it was like, you made that division your battlefield.
Yeah, it was decided by 1 point. It was rough. It was rough. No, I shouldn't have even played Kislev, as try-hard as I am. But I wanted, like, I got, after playing the Orcs, I saw some people playing Kislev that were doing weird things, like putting Wrestle on Blitzers. And like, it was kind of a meme team at that point. No one actually took Kislev seriously. So I figured I could try and make it.
So how did, like, it make you feel that Hindus made people take Kislev seriously before you did?
We started at the same time.
Yeah, but you had a better team. By far.
He did. Yeah, he got stat ups. I didn't get any stat ups.
He got a 2100 Kislev team in a season. I still don't quite... I was in that division, and I don't quite understand how that happened.
That's crazy.
He got stat ups. but yeah, it was a good run, in theory. Like, I think
you
my
came very,
with Kislev was good.
Very close. And if you'd have made playoffs, good. I think you were set to do well.
Yeah, I agree. I would have definitely upset, like, some tier one team, like Kendis did. But, and then the Skaven are, you know, doing really well. Made playoffs first season. Beat every single person except, you know, Louis Chanel.
Only coach, but, as well, to go from a fresh division to season two.
Yeah.
To division two. Yeah. In a season. Like,
well, that's because the people I beat in playoffs were Division One teams. Like, how do you justify a team that wins against two Division One teams back to
back? It's been bad for your team's overall health. But the thing is, right? You might go, "Oh my god, he went from Division Five to Division Two. How does he handle that?" Well, he's currently second in his division, so clearly the man handles it.
Yeah, I'm still playing a team that has AV7 and. When it doesn't go well, it really doesn't go well.
That's the problem with Rat, I find, is that if it goes badly, it can go really badly. Really, like, if you end up, if something bad happens early in a turn and you end up with a lot of rats in base contact, yeah,
that's how I lost to Lumi on vampires.
Just one bad action early in a turn can absolutely throw your entire team to bits, because when the armor starts breaking. And the blocks start rolling in, you know, if you've left a lot of players in contact, you can be in a really bad spot. And that's true of a lot of teams, but rats find it harder to get out of contact, I find. Because line rats are poo.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you need to make moves in order to roll good dice. Like, you have to roll bad dice. If you're in a position where you have to roll bad dice before the good dice, you're going to struggle. And that happens very often because you just don't outstrength anyone. And you don't really want to use your gutters to set up assists. Like, you want your gutters to be safe. So then you're stuck doing stuff with line rats.
Or blitzes.
Or strength 4. Or not strength 4. Agi 4, storm vermin.
I knew that one. I knew that one was coming back. So no, I think... Viking Cop, have you got anything against Superfed hitting the list?
No, you know I don't. I've only played Superfed twice. One was in the playoffs when his ladies battered my team in a wonderfully fun game that I remember fondly, honestly.
Orcs on Chaos. That was a match I was terrified of.
That was a game. And then I remember... Do you remember your first game with Kislev?
I do. That was against you. Yes. It was so bad. I was like, what did I do? I made a mistake. Rookie Chaos against rookie Kislev. And yeah. I just kept rolling skulls. Just yes. Skulls.
It was a crazy game in which I leveled 2 Chaos Warriors.
Wow.
You farmed me. It was so bad.
But yes. Superfit is a really solid coach. We all know this. He performs really consistently. He knows the business. He deserves to be in the list. Come on, guys.
Well, there you have it. I want to see how Grandview King tackles this one. Shout out once, you know what, I'm never going to not shout out Grandview King for the podcast recap, because frankly I'm on the podcast and I still read the recap because he doesn't tell you what's gone on, but he gives you a nice succinct summary, gives you a little bit what to expect, but it's always got his very unique take on things, and the man likes, you know, like little puns and in jokes and stuff, so it's all very, like, sometimes I'll read like a note on a segment about what did we discuss there? Because that doesn't make sense. And then you put two and two together and go, oh, yeah, that was. It's nice, like little quotes and little stuff like that. It's a really cool little news piece, and I do really like it. So I'm always going to shout them out. And speaking of cool content as well, I'm going to shout out real quick Kersubalu, because not only did I actually submit a clip to the Clipping Comp, who's Kersubalu still running the Clipping Comp, I won this week's Clipping Comp entry.
Oh.
Thank you very much. With a clip of Sky Blue Monty's tree going, F it, and running off and picking up a ball. So keep going with the Clipping Comp, Kersubalu. If you've got clips, send them to Kersubalu, because that's super important. Give the podcast recap thing a read, even if you listen to the podcast, because I don't know how many readers he gets. I'm sure there's metrics on Rebel.net. He probably doesn't care. But it's still cool that we've got that. It's just, you know what? I just love the amount of content Rebel makes. I'm never going to not love the amount of content that this league churns out, right?
That's what drew me into it at the beginning. So.
A lot of people say the same thing.
People that say the same thing. Yep.
And I'm going to leave you with a joke. I'm going to leave you with some important message, actually, is I would advise people, like, if you've got a partner, to stay away from the pasta puns, because I was making a lot of, like, jokes about pasta and things, and my missus says, I've had enough, you need to stop. I said, what, are you past the point of no return? And and she left, and now I'm feeling kind of lonely.
That's a story.
You know, by the way, I always get messages as well. You guys just kill my jokes. You just will not let me have one, ever. And I get messages from Grandview King going, it was a good joke this week, I liked it. And I just can't tell if it's sympathy or not, or if he's like, no, it was a good joke. So screw you all.
It sounds like you might have been trying this drink that I really like. It's a little bit bitter and a little sweet. It's called Real Tea.
Okay.
Oh my.
And Viking Cop.
Well, you know, I suck at this, but I have a few of them. Anybody that knows how a penguin does build its house?
It glues it together.
Oh, thank you very much. So, not a new one.
No, I think it's new, but
I was able to guess it.
Good one, super fat. Good one. Like it.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it's good. Right. So, I want to say thank you so very much to Viking Cop, because this has been Rebel Alliance episode 94. Viking Cop, thank you so much for joining us. It is genuinely always a pleasure to have you on, dude.
The pleasure is always mine, you know it.
And there's no Cheetos anywhere in sight, which is...
Quick, grab them before he signs off.
Good news, folks. Viking Cop's not getting banned this week.
Yes, it's in my ass.
And Superfed, as always. I don't know how you managed to handle without shouting at me putting you on the list, but you did. Well done. You were probably playing Legends of Runeterra.
No, I actually stopped playing at that point. I was like, oh, we're getting serious
so,
now.
So that's what I've got to do to get you to pay attention. God damn you, Superfed. I want to give a big shout out to Mongoose's Loose, who we had at the top of the show, because genuinely,
definitely,
you know, lovely guy. Super Bowl champion, can't knock that. Fed, thanks, mate. I always have to get back
at some point. I think he was good.
I've already spoken to him.
Viking Cop too.
Totally going to line it up in a couple of weeks. We, by all accounts, we should have Haringzord on next week, unless plans change. So we'll be talking about Imperium, and Fed will be playing his own card game.
Maybe I'll play Imperium while I'm playing the card game while I'm recording the podcast. You'll never know.
We will.
Oh.
I'll know, Fed. I'll know. No, but Fed, it's always a pleasure, mate. Thank you once again for... I think you're now possibly my longest-running co-host.
Wow.
It might be Kedgeroo's, but you might be getting up on him, I think, at this point.
It's exciting.
50-50?
You're definitely second. So halfway there. And while I'm doing thanks, I want to say a quick thank you to all of the Patreons that make this possible. if you're not aware, Rebel does have a Patreon. All of the money goes towards the prizes. They go towards the mugs. And I've been getting a lot of pictures in because I did a mug order for all of the prize winners from last season a couple of weeks ago. So everyone's been sending me in pictures. And I do love getting all these pictures of you going, yeah, I got my mug and or my mouse mat or whatever you're up to. So keep sending those to me. It never bothers me getting a message on Discord like that. So please do send pictures in with your prizes because that's how we fund them. It's the Patreon. It's and you know the guys who are helping. We've got Coach Cool, we've got Ezekiel, we've got Jeff, we've got a brand new one who just signed up as this evening, which was Big Chuck. We've got Horny Cricket, which is how I knew he was coming back. We've got Cthulhu Collector, we've got Aldar, we've got Dr. Nick, we've got Zinge, we've got Grandview King, we've got Arch Excel, we've got Dash Shooting at him. Those guys are all awesome. Love them all. And they really help us do what we're doing here. So thank you so much, guys. If you want to be on that list, you want to get mentioned as part of the Patreon, hit us up, dudes. It's $5 for a shout-out. So that's pretty cool, I guess. Or more if you want Gamescast or Superfed to eventually make your advert. Eventually.
Eventually. I may actually do that this afternoon for one of them.
Oh, wow. I'm excited to see.
I've got actually some time on my calendar to not play Legends of Runeterra.
We'd never know. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. We've been Rebel Alliance. That was episode 94. 6 left till the big 100, and I still don't know what we're doing. Is it 5? Hang on, 95, 96, 97, 98. Yeah, 6 left. 5 normal podcasts, and then a special podcast. Because that's what I was. That's why I had to go. Exciting. Hang on, what? I had to frame it in my mind. We still are not 100% sure what's coming for episode 100, but it's gonna be special. So you should definitely keep watching, listening, and all that good stuff. Thank you very much, guys. Y'all stay classy now.
The following is a paid political message.
Hello, greetings, man-things. I live, sleep on top of the earth and city like you. Yes, yes. I am concerned, worried about many foreign elf things coming and taking jobs. I want to protect saving from Northman too. That's why I support back Gary Friendly for governor. Gary Friendly is best, greatest man thing. He votes stands for the jobs, defenses, in the Blood Bowl Stadium. You vote elect him. Yes, yes. Paid for by Gary Friendly for governor. Stupid man thinks about it.